This does work, I guess. Or does it? Is it working? Y'all not hearing me? It's not working. Well, I'll just talk louder. It's good to be here tonight. It's good to see y'all out. It wasn't on. My fault. I always have to turn the switch on. You know, that's why I want to say, it's learned from mistakes of others. So now I've learned how to use these things. So now maybe it'll work. Learn from the mistakes of other people. We do that more than we think we do. You know, we read the Bible, and we read about the story about David, and we know about David's awful mistake that he made in this life. I guess a seatbelt has never saved my life, but I know from learning and reading about what happened to other people that it saved their life, and I know that it can save my life. My airbag has never been opened up in my car. Hope it never does. But I know that it can, of course, save my life. And many things we learn in life, we learn from what other people happened to them. Our grandson, y'all may not know this, but he's 10 years old, he has a peanut allergy. And unbeknownst to us and around the family, when he's about a year and a half old, his sister gave him a pinch of Reese's peanut butter cup. And Sue and Sharon and Dick and Heddle's off over in Phoenix City. And we had no idea that he had his peanut allergy, but he does. And I guess one peanut would take his life, that's how bad it is. But Sue recognized it. When he had this reaction to what he'd eaten, just a little bit of that peanut butter, at least the peanut butter cup, she recognized that, and the reason she did was because of the mistakes of other people. She knew about it from nursing, and knew about it happened to other people, and so she knew what was happening, and they were able to do something about his condition, and he lived through it. And so we learn many things from what other people has happened to their lives. We know about these things. And so what we try to do is profit from it. So we don't make the same mistake and it do something to hurt us in some way. And as we read the Bible, we read about people's mistakes. We read about things they did, and we wonder sometimes, in fact, if we read about it, why they would do that. And you know, I've thought about this, that as we live today, we were talking about that world that doesn't see no room. How could anybody improve on our life? We hear about people 100 years ago, how they lived. We read about, hear about people, the houses they lived in, and they didn't have the running water. They didn't have the houses weren't built like we can do. They didn't have the cars like we drive. And all these things we've got today, how, if this world stands 100 years from now, is that going to be improved on? What are people going to do to improve on that? Well, who knows? They may do it. But if people look back on our life day and see how we live and what God has done for us, I mean, how can we ever explain to anybody why we don't serve the Lord if we're not serving the Lord like we should? How are you going to tell the Lord? How are you going to explain that to the Lord? Or to anybody? Because God has poured His blessings out of front of us. And sometimes, I mean, maybe you don't get this feeling, but I've never seen so much whining and complaining. I don't think in my whole life I've seen so much of that. Maybe you don't notice it. Maybe it's not that great. But it just looks like wherever you look on the news or wherever, sometimes you hear people that things is just not going to suit them, and they're not happy, they're not satisfied. And you think, what would it take to make you happy? And what would it take to make you thank God? Well, is this something just to us, is it something new today? It's not. We read back in the Bible of people and how they lived years ago, and they didn't serve God. They did not serve Him like they should, and they asked ourselves the question, why didn't they? Well, let's read about something out of the book of Jeremiah. chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. If you'll turn to me, Jeremiah 6 and verse 10. And Jeremiah talked about here, he's called the weeping prophet. And he was sent to warn people to return to God. And he talked about what they've done and how they've turned away from God. Jeremiah 6 and 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. Look at that last part. They have no delight in it. That's a serious charge. You have delight in God's word? Really? Do you really mean tonight that you can tell me now that you can sit down and read God's word and you're delightful? You take delight in it. You should. You should. He said, these people have no delight in the word of God. Therefore, I am full of the fear of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken to age with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned into others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. Look at verse 13. Far from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk therein. That's 3 verse 16. Well, what do we learn from these people? He says several things about them. And of course, like I told you to begin with, so they have no delight in the word of God. Now, brethren, this is a mindset matter. It really is. And when we read the Bible, so we take delight in it. And we read it with a good attitude, with the right attitude, with an open-minded attitude. Not by what we heard somebody else say, but what does the Bible say? Not what your commentary says, what does the Bible say? And so we take delight in reading the Bible. Sometimes it's a chore. Well, you know, I'll just go ahead and read a little bit. And then I'll just close my eyes and I'll go to sleep. I'll feel better about myself. So we read it with that in mind. But we take real delight in it. That's a good question to ask ourselves. How much delight do we take in reading God's Word? And then he says, look at verse 10 of chapter 6. He says here, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? He says, behold, their ears uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. They cannot hearken. And so they took here, they wouldn't listen to what the word said. They had no delight in it, and they didn't listen to it anyway. But if we read God's word, how many times can you actually say, as you read it, that you listen to what it says? How has it changed your life? How has it helped you to change your children's life? What has God's word really done for you? How has it changed your life? Do you really listen to it? I mean, you just go back to being the same person you were before you read? Do you feel like you're not making any progress in your life as a soldier of Jesus Christ? Or do you feel like you're making real progress? Do you feel like you actually delight in it and you also hearken to it? Whatever it is, no matter how hard it may be, that we will hearken to it, that we take delight in it, that we will listen to it. These people said they will not listen to it. Friends, it is the only way that God has to guide our lives through His Word. And when we refuse to listen to it, He has no way to guide our lives. This is His way to guide us. Through the history of man, when man refuses to listen to God's Word, they're not guided by it. In fact, in the book of Peter, 2 Peter 3 and 5, he talks about how these people they willfully are ignorant of God's Word. Willfully ignorant. How many times have we been willfully ignorant of what the Bible says? We don't know what it says. We can't explain what it says. We've never read what it says. And so it talks about people that are willfully ignorant. The book of Isaiah, chapter 30, and verse 9, he says, "This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, listen to what they said, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit." Can you imagine that? If you like to have a preacher, and you say, "Okay, preacher, we want you to run a revival for us. And here is going to be your thing. Here's going to be your thing, preacher. And what we want you to do is tell us wrong things. Don't tell us right things. Tell us things that are smooth. Tell us things that are easy. Tell us things that we're doing. Make us feel good about our lives." He said that's not what the people of that day wanted. They told them that. And he goes on to say, "Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." We don't want God in front of us. We don't want God in our way. God is dragging us down. That's what they were saying. We don't want to hear it. Don't tell us the truth. You might recall the words what Paul told Timothy, "The time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine." That's what he said. They will heap teachers, having each and each. They want to hear things that are pleasing to them. Well, you say, "I can relate to that." I like to hear things that are pleasing. I think we all do, don't we? We don't like to be corrected, do we? We get real defensive, don't we? You ever do that? And then we have excuses for what we did, why we did what we did. How many of us don't do that? And the Bible even talks about that. Jeremiah 10 says, "The way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walks to direct his own steps, to direct his steps. It is not in me and you that walks to direct ourselves." And so, whether we know from that, we have got to have point. These people didn't have it, they didn't want it. And they were writing his word. We've got to have guidance from God's word. And so ask ourselves the question, first of all, do we delight in it? Do we delight in his word? Do we listen to what he's got to say? Number two, in verse 13, Jeremiah 6, "For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness." What does that mean? I heard Brother Danny Abbott come to say over at Daddy, this year maybe in the Bible, he said, "A lot of people have got the I wants." I never heard that said before, but I thought how well put that was. A lot of people, I believe that's what he said, have got the I wants. Now that's exactly what he's talking about here. It's what Brother Danny said. He said, He said, from the least to the greatest, if he means everybody, they're given over to what they want. Does that fit you? Now come on, man. Be honest with yourself. Does that fit you? Does that fit me? Is that what my life is about? What I covet, what I want? And you know what? What we see anytime is what? What we want. What's that story? You heard that story that time about the little boy? He's happy with his scooter because he saw a kid with a tricycle. And he got a tricycle and he's happy with his tricycle because he saw a kid with a bicycle. He's happy with his bicycle because he sees a kid with a motorbike. He's happy with his motorbike because he sees a kid with a car. He's happy with his car because he sees a kid with a truck. But he's happy with his truck because he sees getting up somebody with an airplane. He's happy with his airplane because he sees somebody with a boat. He said, here we go, don't we? Yeah? We can understand that. Can't we? Maybe you've been in that condition. That's what these people were in. What Brother Danny says? Our wants? Do what you please, isn't it? He said, what is our life sometime about is about lust. About what we want. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely in verse 13. Now that's saying a lot. The prophets to the priests, they don't deal like they should with other people. How do you deal with people? If you're going to sell somebody a car, would you tell them the whole truth about the car? The whole truth about the car, the truck. Sell it in the summertime, the transmission slips in the wintertime. Would you tell them that? You're going to sell it in the summertime? Would you tell them, in the wintertime, you're going to have trouble with the transmission? Oh, really? That's right. I had a car that said, very way. Sometimes it was fine. I got one out there I'm driving right now. Tell you what, the power steering don't work good. It don't. They've got to get warmed up a while. I mean, it feels like it's kind of home. Summertime, it's no problem. It works good. Power steering does. But I know just about what it is. It's got a part in that little grunt there that fluid flows over and it's old. 255,000 miles about on. And that little garment, man, it's gotten hardened, and it don't release good in cold weather. It don't let the fluid flow well. That's what I think it's wrong. But now if I'm going to set up you in the summertime, you wouldn't know that, see. Would I tell you about that? Would that be the correct Christ-like way? If I didn't tell you, no, it would not. See, brother, we're talking about this here, about how you deal with people. And he said, like these people, they deal falsely. Every one of them deals falsely. Whatever's going to make you another nickel. We learn from their mistakes now. That was their mistake. They were obsessed with worldly things, with material things. And sometimes desires for earthly gain leads people to immoral ways of attainment. When people become obsessed with the desire for things that are justified in their own minds, what have they got to do to obtain what it is? Your mind play tricks on you. And so you justify however it is, whatever you want, you're going to justify the means to get it. Remember what Jesus said about the rich man that had so much he didn't have a place to put it? In Luke 12, he said, a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he has, which he possesses. A man's life is not made up of that. He told about the rich man. That's so much he didn't have anywhere to store it. He pulled out his barns to be a greater barns. This is their mistake, Jeremiah said, of what they did. The Bible says we've got nothing in this world. We certainly can carry nothing out. You got nothing here, you're not going to carry anything out. Having food and rain, let us be there with content. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to read some things here that Paul says about how we should live down here, beginning in verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4:18, While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know, as somebody says, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle will dissolve, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Since that is where we as Christians should be laying up treasure, not here on this earth. That's what makes the mistakes of these Israelites did years and years ago. They're possessed. It's what they wanted down here, with the material things of this life. And then, verse 14 of chapter 6 of Jeremiah. They have healed also the head of thy daughter, of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. These people were deluding themselves with lies. They were believing lies. They deluded themselves. When people walk the wrong way, the devil makes it easy for them to believe that everything is okay. You don't know whoever it is. If you're going the wrong way, the devil will make you feel like you're doing good and you're okay. And people say, I can't believe God will condemn me. I'm doing the best I can. Well, that may not be true. I'm living the best I can. It's just up in Tennessee. Usually when she meets me at the back door, she usually says this, Brother Bass, I've got to do better. The sister's 90, maybe 95 now. I've got to do better. Do we ever feel the need to do better? Or are we kind of self-satisfied with who we are, where we are? How are we doing with our life? Do we want to believe lies or do we believe lies? The 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 10. And that all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? People not receiving the love of the truth. Now, we ought to profit by the mistakes of these people. And Paul reminds us here, if you don't receive the love of the truth, he says, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. If they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And so we see here a great danger in believing lies. Because you can get delusional. He says, you ready? You want to argue with somebody? Write Paul a letter and tell him. Paul says, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What he's saying is they refuse to receive the truth, will at last believe lies. Do what? He says, they that refuse to receive the truth will at last believe lies. What is the strong delusion? The misleading influence. That's right. He said, you shall at last believe lies because you get a strong delusion. If a man's got cancer, telling him he's got indigestion is not going to cure him, is it? Lies in medicine, lies in religion will not cure the person that's sick. We don't need to hear lies. We need to hear the truth. We need to demand that preachers preach what the Word says. The Israelites is peace, peace, when there is no peace. But lies didn't help those people, and lies will not help us today. In 1 Peter 1 and 22 says, you have purified yourselves in obeying the truth. We must know the truth. James said, lest you see that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. But people today think that faith only can save you, but since the Bible does not teach that. People are encouraged to join the church of your choice. But God never taught that. Nowhere. told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, Jesus did. He promised to build his church. One church, his church. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. His church. We don't need to hear lies. And then in Jeremiah 6, and this time verse 15, he says they were not ashamed. Well, and I said, were they ashamed and they committed abomination? Have you ever committed abomination? Have you ever done something that's so horrible and terrible that you were ashamed of it? You remember Peter? He denied the Lord. He went out and wept bitterly. Was he ashamed? He absolutely was ashamed. They saw what he'd done. His life later was changed. But he says, these people, were they ashamed? He says, no, they were not at all ashamed. Neither. They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Have you ever blushed? And some people blush easier than others. Rachel went to the lady and she just blushed. I don't think about it. Blush, she's real fair complexion and she blushed a lot. And they say somebody teased a little bit or whatever, you know, she blushed. But, you know, blushing is something that, you say, well, you know, people don't blush much anymore, do they? You say, I never really thought about that. These people couldn't blush. They weren't ashamed. It didn't seem to bother them of what they had done. In fact, let me read you something about sometimes how it is with this very thing. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, 18 and 19. Look at what Paul says here about how some people's lives and what their lives is about. Verse 18 of chapter 3 of Philippians, he says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and I tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, to my earthly things. You know what that means? Have you ever done something you should be ashamed of? Have you ever done something that you should be ashamed of, and you know you should be ashamed of it? You say, well, yeah. I've done some things I'm ashamed of. I've done some things I'm ashamed of. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll never tell you about it. He's talking about here being wrong, the glory in your shame. And that happens to people when they have no feelings of what is right or wrong. They tell you of their old dirty deeds. You've heard it, haven't you? Oh, yeah. That's what he's talking about right here. Their glory is in their shame. They glory, they boast about it. They brag about it, what we did. Paul says, that's a shame what you've done. Jeremiah says, they're not ashamed. Not at all. They couldn't even blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Now, friends, what are you saying to them? You're not ashamed of it. You're what? Probably not going to change from it, are you? Would you not agree? You do things that are wrong, you say things that are wrong, you go with the wrong people or whatever, and you're not ashamed of it. You boast about it. You're probably not going to change something. Probably not going to change something. They could not blush. And then Jeremiah 6 and 16, he says here, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. For it is a good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for yourselves. Let's read it again now. Notice what it says. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, open your eyes, and ask for the old paths. For it is a good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. What a wonderful promise. Tell those people what they have to say about that. You read what he says? But they said, we will not walk therein. the only possible cure. They rejected the only possible cure. And we will not walk. Revelation talks about, know that you've left your first love. You've left your first love. Repentance. We hear a lot about repentance. Repent and do your first works. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Now those people were sick in their heart. They were ashamed of what they had done, and Peter told them what they had done, and they were ashamed of it. They were remorseful of what they had done. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And brethren, this is the story here, as we read about the prophet Jeremiah, that these people did, and how they went wrong, that we don't want to make their mistake. No, we don't want to make their mistake. But he said so many things here about where they went wrong in their lives. They were listening to God's word, they took no delight in it. They were obsessed with material things, and we've got to be careful of that because we have so many material things today. They deluded themselves with lies. They didn't want to hear what the Bible had to say. They were not ashamed. They didn't blush. And they rejected the only possible cure for their life, and that was the Word of God. When they said, we will not walk therein. Well, if we study this tonight, did it help us to study it? Did we learn about our mistake? Then we can learn something from this. Oh, yes, we can. We can see where they went wrong. And we can see maybe today, because I think we see the parallel that our life can run with that right there. And I ask you again, how could God bless us anymore? He's blessed us. Do we thank Him? Do we praise Him? Do we study His Word? Do we have the light of His Word? Are we willing to change our life? Is His Word direct? Or are we willing to listen? It's up to you. And because life is full of decisions. We make them all the time. Make the right decisions. Make the right choices with life. You young people here tonight, you're going to have so many people pulling you in different directions. Your friends, your acquaintances, people you work with or wherever you go in life. But you got to make the right choices in life. Stop looking, listen. Ask yourself, where is this going? Where is this leading me? What's going to happen to me? What does the Bible say about this? What is the right thing to do? Make good choices. Always accept God's word. No matter how hard, no matter how against the grain, no matter how out of date you might say it is, it's not out of date, but you might think it's out of date. Always know it's for you today, right here as you live in this life. It applies right now. It can change your life. It can change your attitude. It can help you in every way. And probably I'll tell you about a song that she and I would sing sometimes. We've got a tape. And the song is Keep on the Sunny Side. And we've sung it a lot lately. We sang it this morning, in fact, as we were getting ready. And I thought about that song, how important that is. I know sometimes it's hard to keep on the sunny side. But it's best we can keep on the sunny side. Always on the sunny side of life. Because you can find something good in this life. You look for it, you'll find it. As we stand tonight and sing the song of invitation, we offer you the service of the church to be baptized and ask the church to pray. You can call it if you come to the front as we stand and as we sing.